Well, hallelujah. Isn't that the song that every child of God can sing tonight? I'm free from the chains that I've had. And but what a lovely piece of ministry that was to each of us. And how challenging that first piece was to someone who is listening in, who maybe hasn't taken that step of faith. Where will you be 100 years from now? I would like to speak to you tonight under the title Yet Once More. And we're going to turn to the book of the Acts in chapter 26. The Acts in chapter 26, and we're going to read a few verses here from the verse 22. Acts and the chapter 26. I would like to read three passages from God's Word this evening before we come to preach the gospel message. The first of those in Acts and chapter 26 in the verse 22. And this is Paul speaking, and he's before Festus, and he's before King Agrippa, and he's testifying, and he's telling them of his Savior. And he's on trial, and this is what he says, coming to the end of his testimony in verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Then that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And he thus spake for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. And then Paul, he turns to the king and he asks the king directly this question. He says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. A second reading from God's word is just a verse from Hebrews in the chapter 3 and the verse 7 and into verse 8. And this is what it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then a final reading from Hebrews in the chapter 12 and the verse 25 through to the end. And this is what it says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I want you to picture the scene before us here in God's Word this evening. We have Paul here, and he's before Festus, and he's before King Agrippa, but this story starts 5 years before this occasion. 5 years before this scene, Paul had been falsely accused by the Jews of stirring trouble amongst them by saying things against the Jewish law. And the Jews, they wanted to put him to death, but Felix, who was the governor before Festus, he couldn't find any proof of the accusations that the Jews accused Paul of. And they had no reason to kill Paul. So instead, he put Paul in prison to keep the Jews happy. That was a good political move from Felix. But due to violence and political unrest, 2 years later, Felix stepped down and he was replaced by Festus, who we find in this chapter this evening. And it wasn't long before the Jews began to test their new governor to see if he would be willing to kill Paul. In fact, in Acts chapter 25 and verse 2, it says that they informed him, they informed Festus against Paul. And Festus, he had Paul brought before him to allow Paul to speak for himself. And Paul, knowing that he was innocent and that he hadn't broken any laws, he challenges Festus to put him to death if any fault was found. But again, just like Felix, Festus couldn't find any proof of the accusations made against Paul. What was Festus to do? Really, he should release Paul, but to release Paul would have made him an enemy of the Jews, which in his position was a bad idea. Then we have almost a twist in the tale where we find that Paul, he's a citizen of Rome, and he had the right to appeal to Caesar, the ruler of Rome, to hear his case. That's a little like appealing to the Supreme Court today. And Paul, he declares and he says, I appeal unto Caesar. Now, Festus is in trouble now. You see, he needed to write to Caesar to explain why Paul was in prison. And he needed to write his accusation and his proof against Paul. And almost just in perfect time, King Agrippa II arrives on the scene to greet his new governor, and he's informed of this situation with Paul. And King Agrippa, he agrees to help out and to hear what Paul has to say for himself. And how interesting it is to note who King Agrippa is. King Agrippa's father had put James to death. His grandfather had beheaded John the Baptist. His great-grandfather, known as King Herod, had in fact attempted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ when he was just a boy. It's possible that this royal family knew all about Christianity, that they maybe had even heard the gospel message. And yet once more, King Agrippa, in our reading tonight, was going to hear the gospel. How would he respond? The story is told of two teenagers who robbed a YMCA on the east side of New York City. Both teenagers had a long history of crime and misbehavior behind them. And as they left the building, they came across a young man at a telephone switchboard. And they were frightened and they assumed that this man, that he was going to phone the police. And they decided to beat him violently until they thought he was dead. And they hid him behind a swimming pool and they escaped. Later on that evening, a woman was heading for a swim and found the beaten man and got him help. The man's name was Donald Tippett. He lived. But one of his eyes was so badly damaged that it couldn't be saved. The two teenagers, they were seized and they were brought to trial. And their past records assured that both of them would get long sentences. But then Donald Tippett did the most amazing thing. He called for the judge to allow the two young men to be released from their charges. He wanted to give them another chance. He believed they could change. You know, in time, one of those boys went on to commit another crime and he was caught and he was put into jail. The other boy was receptive to Tippett's kindness, and he went to college and then went to medical school and became very successful in the field of medicine. These two men were offered yet another chance at life, and one of them took the chance and succeeded. The other continued on in a life of crime and ended up in prison. I want to consider that little phrase that we find in the verses we read in Hebrews 12. It's found in 26 and verse 27. It says, yet once more. You see, these two boys had yet one more chance to get things right, to sort their lives out. One took the opportunity and one didn't. King Agrippa, yet once more, would hear the gospel message in our passage this evening. Would he listen? How would he respond? And tonight, dear friend, as you listen in, dear unsaved friend, as you listen, you have the opportunity to listen to the gospel message yet once more. You'll hear the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. How he can turn a life around. How he can save you from your sin. How you can be ready for eternity. Where will you be 100 years from now? So we'll use this little phrase yet once more. I have three simple thoughts that I want you to consider this evening. The first is this. Yet once more, you have a chance to hear. Yet once more, you have a chance to hear. We've set the scene. King Agrippa, he's now ready to hear Paul's message. And in the presence of the king and many others with pomp around, Paul, he doesn't jump to his own defense. But what does Paul speak about? He speaks about his Savior. How quick the Christian can jump to their own defense when questioned. But Paul jumped to the defense of his Lord and his Savior and was ready to give a reason for the hope that was in him. Here in the presence of the king, Paul set out God's work of salvation in his life. Paul wanted all people around him to hear this wonderful life-changing message. And tonight this is the message you will hear. Maybe you've heard this message before. Maybe you know already your need of a Savior. You might be a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. You know exactly what I'm talking about when I say yet once more. Yet once more, God in his grace and his mercy allows you to hear this message. How are you going to respond? You may be listening and you've never heard this message before. Let me tell you, God has given you a chance to hear for the very first time. Your life could be changed for the better in a moment. But you must decide. We've read in God's word of this man, Paul, and he's standing before King Agrippa and Festus. He's on trial. He stands up and he tells his story. Here it is. He says, my name is Paul, but I was once Saul. I was brought up a Pharisee, the strictest of all Jews. I hated Christians and anybody who stood by the Lord Jesus Christ. I hated their message. I hated their lifestyle. You see, Paul, he hadn't always been a Christian. In fact, he says in verse 9 of chapter 26, he says, I thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Paul felt at one stage that he ought to do everything in his willpower to oppose the name of the Lord Jesus and the people who stood for Christ. He tells us in verse 10 and 11 how he did this. He said, I shut them up in prison. They were put to death. I gave my voice against them. I punished them oft in every synagogue. I was exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them unto strange or foreign cities. I don't know who you are tuning in this evening to our broadcast, but could it be that you're someone who wants nothing to do with Christianity? You hate the things that you hear. You feel this world would be better off without Christians, maybe. But possibly your feelings aren't quite as strong as that. But you've never taken time to consider the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for you. You've never listened to this message properly. Well, let me encourage you to keep listening. For Paul, he tells King Agrippa how he was on his way to Damascus to find more Christians to persecute and to kill. But he says to Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, and it was brighter than the sun, and it blazed around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness. And Paul, at this point, he had a choice. He had a decision to make whether he would follow the Lord Jesus Christ or whether he would reject him. And he didn't ignore it. He obeyed it. Now here he is before Agrippa, a changed man, a testimony of how the Lord Jesus Christ can completely change a life. And Paul speaks of this light that shone around him. It was the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus spoke of himself and he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Bible uses this imagery of light and darkness quite often. You can't see much in the dark, can you? And it reminds me of a story that I often tell boys and girls when speaking in children's meetings in Sunday schools. You know, I used to live in Belfast, and from my room, my bedroom, I could see the ships going in and out of the harbour. And it reminds me of a story of a little boy who escaped from home years ago when the old ships came in and out of the dock. And he managed to get on board one of the ships without being noticed. And he went right down into the bottom of the ship. And it was dark down there. And the boy couldn't see what was around him. And he would just sneak up every so often to get some food. And then he would return to the bottom of the ship. After a few days, the captain of the ship opened the trap door above where the boy had been hiding. And the light shone in and it showed the boy how filthy the area he had been staying was, and he wanted out as fast as possible. The light showed him what he couldn't see. And when the Lord Jesus shone his light on Paul, Paul realized how wrong he was in the way that he had been living. And many years later, he went on to describe himself as the worst of sinners. It's only when you come to the Lord Jesus as you are, and allow him, the light of the world, to shine his light in you, that you see how filthy your sin that separates you from a holy God is. Your sin, it offends God. You deserve to be punished. Yet God, he had this rescue plan so that you could be saved. And the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life for you. But how will you respond? We can consider Paul in the presence of Festus and King Agrippa, and he speaks of his Savior and he shares this good news. What can we learn? Well, Paul tells them that this message, it was designed for all. He says in verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great. You know, there's no discrimination with my God. There's no dividing line. Yes, the truth is we have all offended him, every single one of us. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm sure no one listening can say they've always been truthful. You can't say that you've never had a hateful thought towards someone. You can't say that you've never been dishonest. Not one of us is perfect. We've all offended our perfect God. We've all sinned. The Bible tells us that. And the truth is, just as crime must be punished in our justice system, there's a punishment awaiting for those that reject the message of the Bible. But God has made a way for us all to be saved. It's a message that is designed for all. The Lord Jesus, he died for all. He died for the great and small. He died for the rich and the poor. He died for the young and he died for the old. He died for you. It's a message designed for all. You are included. It's a message that applies to all. Look at verse 23. It says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Cast your mind's eye to the cross and see the Lord Jesus hanging there in your place and see the blood flowing and see his back torn apart by the whip and the wrath of a holy God poured on his Son in order that you and I may walk free. Yet people still reject this message. He dies the death that you deserved and he took the place that you deserved. The price was paid for your sin and mine. And the blood was shed for by my Savior for you. His death applies to you. And why have you not accepted his free gift? What is his free gift? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave his life that you might live. Not just here on earth, but eternal life. Everlasting life. And this message, it applies to you. Crucified. Crucified and nailed upon the tree. With pierced hands. And feet inside. For you. For me. It's a message that's designed for all. Applies to all. And it's offered to all. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for some people. He died for all. And God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why do you think that this message is preached clearly from this pulpit every Sunday evening? Why do you think many members in this church give their lives to the Lord to go out and reach the lost? Why do you think men and women of God go out to places where they could be killed for sharing this message? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the gospel is such good news that it needs to be offered to all. And we are willing to share it all over this world, no matter what the cost may be. And yet once more, the message is preached to you. Yet once more, you have a chance to hear it. But secondly, yet once more, you have a chance to heed. You have a chance to heed this message. It's not enough just to hear the gospel message. You must heed it. Heed simply means you must pay attention. The Lord Jesus demands obedience to his commands. He has made the way to be saved, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has shown us the way to be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He has told us what we need saved from, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, fear God, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. When he bids you come, you must come. When he bids you to repent, you must repent from your sin. When he bids you to wash and be clean, you must wash and be clean. When he bids you to forsake the old way of sin, you must forsake the old ways. Are you heeding this message? Are you paying attention? What about Festus? What about King Agrippa? They heard this message. They heard Paul's testimony of what Christ had done in his life, and they had a chance to heed. How did they respond? Well, what does Festus say? Look at verse 24, he says, much learning doth make thee mad. Festus, he rejected the message. Dear friend, the truth here is this. It would be mad to reject this message as Festus did. The truth is tonight, if we could bring Festus to stand here right now, he would tell you that Paul wasn't mad. He would tell you that you'd be mad not to listen to this message because Festus is in a lost eternity tonight. Paul humbly responded to Festus and we read it in verse 25. Paul says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Dear friend, don't consider this message mad. Don't consider it as strange. It's the truth, and I share it in love. And if you choose to neglect so great salvation, my Bible tells me that you'll end up in a lost eternity in hell. It will cost you everything. But the Lord Jesus, he made a way, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. Don't be mad like Festus and reject this message once again. Receive the truth. Receive Christ as your Savior. What about King Agrippa? What did he say? Well, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. Dear friend, you may listen tonight. You may have even been in this building and sat in these pews and listened to the gospel message be preached many, many times. And God, he had pricked the heart of King Agrippa, and he had a decision to make. He says, I'm almost persuaded. How many times have you sat under this message and maybe even shed tears and listened to the pleas of faithful men of God who call out and plead with you to give your life to Christ? How many times has the Spirit of God spoken to you and shook you, and you've almost been persuaded? And the truth is, if you're listening tonight, God is speaking to you. The Bible promises me that when God's word is read publicly, God speaks. And God has promised in his word that it will not return unto him void or empty. So whether this is the 100th time you're hearing this message or the first, God is speaking to you right now. And he loves you. He lovingly bids you to come to him, to soften your heart and hear his voice and heed the invitation. Don't harden your heart or turn away. Today, if ye will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Are you going to keep delaying till it's too late? God is speaking to you just now. Every time His word is open, He speaks. We've read this solemn verse. Today, if ye will hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Let's face it, no man knows what a day may bring forth. You may never hear this message again. And when you stand before God, I was almost persuaded, won't wash. If you aren't to make it to tomorrow morning, or if you aren't to make it to your pillow tonight, you won't be able to say, Lord, I never knew. Bow the knee and speak to the Lord just now. Thank the Lord Jesus for taking your place on the cross and taking the punishment for your sin. Praise Him that He is alive and He has defeated sin. Turn from your sin and seek to live for the Lord, and He will save you. And you'll know then that you'll stand in heaven and you'll be with Him for all eternity. But don't harden your heart tonight. I heard it a couple of summers ago about three university students who had been sharing a student house in Belfast. One of these students had a placement with BT in Belfast, and he would have to get up early each morning and he would set his alarm, and as the story goes, the alarm would sound and he would hit the snooze button. And then it would go again and again, and he would continue to keep hitting the snooze button, and this would continue until he ran out of opportunities to get up and he would end up being late for work. Let me ask you, how many times will you hit the spiritual snooze button on God? What if, like that student, you run out of opportunities and you're too late? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That little verse that we've read in Hebrews, it says, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, today, if ye will hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't be like Festus. Don't reject the message. Don't be like King Agrippa, almost persuaded. Come through for God. He is speaking. Don't be lost. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to feel. Sad, sad, the bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Yet once more you have a chance to hear. Yet once more you have a chance to heed. And finally, yet once more you have a chance to have. My dear friend, tonight come to the Savior without delay. Every man, woman, boy and girl can have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and friend. You can have Him as your Savior and friend. You can have peace with God. You can have pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. You can know what it is to have the help and empowering from God to live the Christian life. Even when the storms of life rage and all around you seems to crumble, you'll have a friend in whom you can depend, who can guide you through the storms of life. You know, I'm so glad I have the Lord as my guide in this life. I don't know how anybody could get through without Him. On the 22nd of November, 1998, I bowed my knee and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. I was 5 years old. Just 5. It's a message so simple, even a child can understand it. The Lord Jesus, He is my everything. And He's altogether lovely. And I trust you will be like Paul this evening. As when you hear this message, so he says in verse 19 of Acts in chapter 26, he says, I could not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Dear friend, I say to you, don't be disobedient to this heavenly message this evening. Why? Having the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is the highest privilege that can be conferred upon any soul. You'll have the most powerful force that can operate in any soul. Your lips will be filled with praise and joy for the change that the Lord Jesus brings to a life. Nothing greater can be told from the human lips than the vision of God's love and grace towards sinful man. What a wonderful Savior. Yet once more you have a chance to hear. Yet once more you have a chance to heed. Yet once more you have the chance to have. So what's your response? Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Come believing. Come to Jesus. Look and live. Just in closing, I think it's interesting to note that in Hebrews 12, where we find our little phrase, yet once more, and verse 26 reads this, it says, yet once more, it's God speaking. It says, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. As I speak this evening, we find ourselves nearing the end of a year that a global pandemic has swept our planet. And make no doubt about it, God is sovereign and no man can know the mind of God. So in no way can I suggest to you that God, what God is and is not doing. But I do know that when you're frustrated with someone, you sometimes want to give them a shake, don't you? Do you ever feel like that? I sometimes do. And I just wonder, yet once more, in God's mercy, is he giving the earth and heavens a shake? And is he trying to get our attention, your attention, to consider him, to think about the reason for life and to give you an opportunity to devote your life to him? We've pushed God out of our schools and our schools have been limited this year. We've replaced him with sport, with music festivals, with pubs, with clubs, and many other distractions that keep us from him. And now many of these things have been limited and many of these things have been gone. And I just wonder, is God giving you this time to think? And once again, yet once more, you have the opportunity to respond to this message of salvation. Dear friend, my prayer is the same as Paul's as he responds to the king's statement. Do you know what he said? He said, I would to God that all who hear me this day were all together such as I am. My prayer is that every single person who listens to this message would give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for you, that you would know his salvation, that I would have the privilege of calling you my brother or my sister in Christ. Give your life to him tonight. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before thee just now and we thank you for this wonderful gospel message. Oh, it's good news. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that he came down to this earth the first Christmas, God incarnate. And he lived a perfect life. He is our very example. He was perfect and yet he went to the cross. There took the punishment for sin. The love of God was displayed to all. Thank you, Father, that there is a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, there's a door that is open and all may go in. And at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. Father, if there is anyone who listens in this evening, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray that the Spirit of God will convict them of sin. And that, Father, this evening there will be a great gathering of souls into your kingdom. We pray this in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now the group are going to come and they're going to finish off our service and they're going to sing, I've wandered far away from God. Now.